Romans chapter number 10 this evening. Romans chapter number 10. As we continue in our series where we left off recently, we've been looking at the Bible, bibliology in many different ways. And last week, we were in a more practical section. And this week, I believe it is also very practical, and you'll see why. As we talk about the Bible and salvation, and you know, as we've looked at various ways that the Bible is impactful in our lives, why the Bible is needed, why it's trustworthy, tonight we look at it again on the side of why we need this, and particularly in the aspect or the realm of salvation, really in the evangelizing, really in reaching the lost with salvation, we come to realize and see that we have to have the Bible. If you think with me, many churches, and I'm not saying we're any different, but many churches are looking for ways, how do we reach our community? How do we have a greater impact? And we come up with many different ideas or many different ways, and we're brainstorming. And in all of that, I fear it's very easy for us to miss what is the one thing we really need. We need the message of God's Word to be going forth. That's what people need to hear. And I'm afraid there's probably been churches guilty throughout time, and even in recent days, I don't have any in mind, but who have sacrificed the message of God's Word for encouragement. They have sacrificed the message of the gospel to be relevant. When one of the few things that we should never, ever, well, there's many things we should never, ever mess up, but one of the things that is so important is that they need to hear God's word. Tonight, we talk about the good news, and we're in Romans 10. We're going to see what has often been used as a missions message. And they're right. This is a very missional passage. But look with me, for instance, we're going to be beginning in verse 12 tonight, but let's go back just a little bit further and start at verse number 5. As Paul, he's been talking with Israel and talking with them of where they have failed and their unbelief and where they have messed up and how that there has been this stumbling block for them. And we get to verse number 5. And it says, "For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend in the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." And thus, as it continues on, we get a very missional passage. And it's often, you'll see this perhaps even in missions conferences, when it's talking about how beautiful are the feet of them who bring good tidings of great things, the ones who are going to be there and sharing the gospel. And so rightfully, this is a very missional message. But I want you to look at this. While we'll address the mission side of it, the evangelism side of this, I want you to be looking tonight and looking at the necessity of the Bible, the necessity of God's Word in relation to evangelism, in relation to our salvation. And you see, the Jews, they had a problem. As the Jews, they were rejecting the gospel, they were rejecting Christ. It was a stumbling block to them. And when Jesus, or when Paul is speaking, we learn and is saying, look, salvation is possible by grace through faith in Christ, but the Jews didn't believe. The Jews had refused Christ. They refused this gospel. And why? Well, they were living under a workspace. They thought they had to work. They had to earn it. They had to be good enough. They didn't see the simplicity of salvation. But salvation is so simple. And it's right here in this book, but how many people don't want to listen to this old, dusty book? Friends, for the Christian, this shouldn't be an old, dusty book. It should be alive and relevant. Its pages should be turned. But for many, it's just an old book written times ago for people long ago. But yet, this is what they need. We begin by looking at this offer of salvation. Look in verses 12 and 13 with me. If we look at the offer of salvation, Paul says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." He begins as he's speaking of that offer of salvation. It's available to everyone. There is no spiritual privileges that are based on racial distinctions. Whether you were Jew or Greek, it didn't matter. The Jews in the Old Testament, they were God's special people. They had some things that were reserved for him. But now it's saying, look, there is no difference. This is available to everybody. All must accept Jesus Christ by faith if they are to be saved, if they are to be the redeemed people of God. Everyone must call upon the name of the Lord. And so there is no distinctions. It doesn't matter if you're white or black, yellow or red or green. Who knows what your color is? It doesn't matter. All must trust Christ as their Savior. But further, it is only in Christ where we see, as we looked in the identity series, that the racial divide is solved. For Christ will change a man's heart. We can love all other Christians. But what we see here is there is a separation that all men have. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We have a problem. That we have sinned against a holy God. We are separated from God, but salvation is available to all. It is open to all who receive Christ as personal Lord and Savior. It is open to all those who call upon the name of Christ to deliver them from sins, to give them eternal life. Isn't that what it says here? Everyone, or maybe your translation says, everyone who calls on him will be saved. Salvation is offered. It is given. And so we begin there by understanding. That's why this is often seen as a missional message, and it is correct. It is. This verse is really, there is a quote here from Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. It is showing that salvation has always been by faith. Salvation was by faith in the Old Testament. Salvation is by faith in the New Testament. Salvation is by faith today. It's this universal offer of salvation. It is not universal salvation. Not everybody is saved. But it is an offer. The death of Christ, that salvation is applied to those who trust in Christ as Savior. Now, but as we get that background and that basis, we see this offer of salvation. But now we're going to move into seeing how God's word is so necessary. Why this is a must, the preaching of salvation. Look with me at verses 14 and 15. God's word says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." And now this is often, and rightfully so, been used as they call, we need people to go. We need people to give the message. That is entirely true here. But I want us to notice, what is Paul's point? His point is that the universal offer of the gospel demands a universal preaching of the gospel. We have to be sharing God's word. People need to hear and know the Bible. Salvation, if it doesn't come apart from God's word, then God's word must be given. Men cannot call on a Savior in whom they have never believed. And to be sure, they cannot believe in a Savior in whom they have never even heard. Someone must go. Someone has to share the gospel. Earlier in our message, we shared about the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter number 8. And if you remember that story, this Ethiopian eunuch, he was a very earnest fellow. He had some of God's word, and he's trying to understand it, and he just can't understand it. And it's not till Philip comes along, and we used it to talk about illumination. We talked about how the Holy Spirit works and helps us to understand and why it was so important. As he was reading that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he needed somebody to come and explain it, somebody to come and open the scripture for him. It reminds of in Acts chapter 11 and verse 14, we have Cornelius. Cornelius was a Jewish proselyte. He was commanded by an angel to send for Peter, who was, notice this, to speak to the words by which you will be saved. He needed to hear the gospel. Or 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now when you hear the word preaching, it's not just talking about your pastor or an evangelist up on the stage sharing it and giving God's word. It's not just talking about the missionaries. It's actually talking about all Christians. The word preacher means one who heralds a message. Thus, it is pointing out that the message of Christ is a responsibility for each and every one of us. It's something that we must give. The Overseas Missionary Fellowship, it has a motto. It says this, you are either a missionary or a mission field. You are one or the other. And you see, there are many good organizations in our country. There are many good organizations that are doing great things. They're helping people out. They're providing for them. And they can put out an emotional plea, and you see it, and you donate money. Many that are doing very good things for mankind. But there is something that is wrong. Something that Christians have had for now over 2,000 some years that has done more good for mankind than any of these secular organizations. It is that we have a gospel to share. The message of Jesus Christ. True Christians are committed to God's word in their own lives, but true Christians are also committed to sharing God's word. We are to preach to all men, whether they want to hear the message of Christ or not, because all men need him. All people need to hear the gospel. Dr. Richard Halverson, he used to be the head of an organization called International Christian Leadership. He had once addressed a group of men in Germany. And after the session, he had a question time, and one of the men asked him, you have been talking to men who are members of a church, encouraging them to work, but what do you say to a man who is a communist, who doesn't believe in God, who has no interest in the church, who thinks Christ is an all Tommy Rot? Now, I don't know what a Tommy Rot means, but that's what he asked. Dr. Howison quickly replied, there is no place on earth where man doesn't have an empty heart if he doesn't know God. So begin with the empty heart. The life that is unfulfilled and unsatisfied is longing and yearning to find rest. And church, there are millions and millions and millions, I don't know, maybe even millions of people in this world, millions in the United States alone, who have never heard the gospel. they have never heard. Gertrude Bahana, she was a woman that was wrapped up in every kind of immorality. And she longed to have the inner yearning of her heart satisfied, to have the emptiness filled. But what did she do? She tried everything. She filled it with sex. She filled it with alcohol. She filled it with drugs. She filled it with every kind of vice, anything that she could hold on to, but she found no satisfaction. It was not until she had lived for 50 years in the USA that after 50 years, she had still never heard the gospel. At the age of 50, she heard the gospel, and she was miraculously saved. Her life was transformed by the power of Christ. Even just this afternoon, this isn't even in my notes, I was reading a biography on Gavin Peacock. Lord willing, I have plans in the new year, a message that I plan to do with this biography. But Gavin Peacock, he was a world-famous soccer player. I'm sure he had a greater impact over in England and well-known than he ever was here in the States. But Gavin Peacock, he was sharing how here he was, this up-and-coming soccer player. He was 19 or so, and he was driven. He was striving, but he said he was struggling with the fact that he would go to a game and his happiness, his joy, his excitement all depended on, did his team win and how did he play? If it was bad, he was having a bad day, a bad week till the next game. Everything was dependent on that, and he said, this just doesn't seem right. I am empty. This isn't filling a void. It wasn't until he started to attend a local Methodist church with his mom, and the pastor invited him after to a fellowship of young adults, and he would go there week after week, and he's like, I'm going there. I'm the one with the most money. I'm the one who's coming with the fanciest of cars. I'm the one who's the most famous and well-known and popular. And I would go there, and I'm beat up inside, and here's all these people who are filled with joy. And their hearts are filled. He had described himself before this as a deist. He believed that God was just somebody you prayed to for good luck, and if you were a good enough person, you would go to heaven. But it wasn't until he was attending this and he heard the gospel that he found exactly what he had been looking for. Friends, this world needs to hear God's word. And so we hear this phrase then as we were looking in these verses. And it tells us in verse 14, and how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You see, the Christian is never, ever going to be an effective witness until the Christian is convinced that God has sent you into the world to share his word. That God has given you a mission to share the gospel. It doesn't matter where you line up in other things tonight, and what I'm getting at is, but to understand that God has given you something to do. This world needs to hear the gospel, and you need to be convinced that you should give the gospel. That is why his word is so important, because the world needs it. We have to be a testimony. Anyone who is sent from God has all the credentials, has all that you need. You are fully equipped to bring the good news of Christ to the world. Some of you may have a fine education. Some of us might not. Some of us might have a winning personality. Others, we might not have such a winning personality. Some of you may have a great ability to speak, and you never stutter, and you have these fine words. But it doesn't matter how good you are or how bad you are, if you do not have the assurance that God is sending you out, that God says you can be an effective witness. God is saying, look, or Paul is saying to us, they need to hear. You need to go, and guess what, church? You have been sent by God to share this good news. John Knox, the great Scottish reformer, he was sent by God, or he believed he was sent by God to Scotland to free that nation from the Roman Catholic Church. And his one passion in life was to see a nation won for Christ. And so he would pray to God. He would say, "Give me Scotland for Christ, or I die." And through this one man, God did a lot in Scotland. It says that God brought Scotland to its knees before Christ. You see, our message is one of good news. And we have to get this across to men. This is an older statistic, but at one time it was estimated that there were 81 million evangelical Christians in the world today. But that would include various states of knowledge and belief. But just think for a minute. If 81 million Christians got on the ball and said, "This is what people need to hear, this is what I need to be involved in," is sharing God's word, sharing the gospel. Can you imagine how turned upside down this entire world would be? What potential is out there? So what is the problem? The problem is we are not obedient. We don't believe so much in this word and in this message and in the power of God that we don't share it. Maybe we're ashamed of it. Maybe we don't have the confidence in it. Maybe more likely we doubt ourselves. But friend, God, if he sends you, God also equips you. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is God who works in their hearts. We need to be an effective witness for Christ. But notice what it says then. And this offer that is rejected, verses 16 through 21. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I asked, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, 'I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. What a foolish nation I will make you angry. With a foolish nation I will make you angry.' Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, 'I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me.' But of Israel he says, 'All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people.'" You see, the message has been gone forth. We have God's word. There have been missionaries throughout the age. There have been prophets who have gone forth. And yet there are many who have rejected the good news of the gospel. And many who have loved darkness rather than light. And many who they rejected. And guess what? That doesn't remove our responsibility to share God's word, to share this message of salvation. We have to be faithful to proclaim it, whether or not this world wants it, because one day we'll give an account. But I love that phrase, or what it tells us in verse 17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. What it comes down to is that salvation comes through God's word. Oh yes, the Holy Spirit is working. Yes, he is active and given faith, but unless they hear the gospel, they will not be saved. I remember one time I was teaching, I believe probably in this exact same passage, and I had an individual arguing with me saying, "Hold on, you're putting God in a box to say that somebody who never heard the gospel will not be saved after they die. You're putting him in a box, friends." I'm not putting in a box. God has placed the box here. If we notice what we already read, they can't. How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? The answer is they can't. How are they to believe in him in whom they have not heard? The answer is they can't. How are they to hear without someone preaching? The answer is they can. If they never hear God's word, they cannot be saved. Yes, it's missional. We need people to go, but it's also telling us the truth that without God's word, salvation, you don't ever hear it. You don't receive it. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. You must hear what Jesus Christ did for you. Saving faith comes from heeding to saving doctrine, understanding it, responding to saving doctrine. That is why, as we've talked about, we even looked at it last week, why doctrine is so important. Because if you don't get it right, we don't teach it right, they're not going to hear the right gospel. They're going to hear something different. The way to get a strengthened faith is to know and apply the Word of God. We've talked about it before. We're going to talk about it again. How does God sanctify you? How does God grow you? He does it through His Word. The Holy Spirit uses the Word. We are illuminated through the Word. We are understanding through the Word. We obey through the Word. And people are saved by hearing the Word of God and responding to that message. You see, God does not save anyone until that person has heard the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ. And so you and I have a responsibility. If they need to hear the gospel, we need to give the gospel. If they need the Bible, they need to hear it. D.L. Moody, he tells a story of how he had pleaded and pleaded and pleaded with God for more faith. And as he kept pleading, and he was at the point of despair, he felt like his faith wasn't increasing. And then one day, he read Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. And he began then to get serious about his faith. He began to spend more and more time in God's word and allow it to grow him. You see, God uses his word for salvation, but also for our growth. But he goes, well, have they not heard? What about those who have never heard? And Paul then, as he is quoting, he quotes Psalm chapter 19 and verse 4. It's speaking of physical creation, and it applies for the opportunity God gave the Jews to hear the gospel. He's saying, look, the Jews cannot say, I never heard. I didn't know. He's saying, no, you've rejected the gospel. You should have known. He even asked, didn't Israel understand? Did they not understand? And he says, look, Moses said, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Isaiah would be as bold to say, I've been found by those who did not seek me. I've shown myself to those who did not ask for me. Israel had full knowledge of a Messiah to come. They had Christ who came up through them and they rejected him. They are guilty of them and they are accountable for their unbelief. And it was predicted in the Old Testament that Gentiles would respond to the good news of Christ. It would provoke Israel to jealousy. It would make them reject Christ even more. And to Israel, he says, all day long I've held up my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. You see, God is patient. God is long-suffering. God is waiting and giving Israel all the opportunities to repent, all the opportunities to return to Christ. This offer of salvation is given to them. It is available to them. And yet they continue to reject God's mercy and grace. How many people are just like the Jews? They've heard the gospel. They've heard what God's word says. Maybe they grow up with it. They grew up in church. Maybe it's sitting in their home. I remember meeting a man once, I've told you about him before, where he was just driving along, he was having troubles, he opened up his glove box, and there was a Bible that he hadn't touched in many, many years, and he wanted to know more. Friends, this world needs the gospel. I found an illustration this week that I found quite unique. Maybe you've heard something like this before. Suppose that the whole world came down with some kind of terminal cancer, and it was just a matter of time before all would die. There was no hope for anyone, but through some great scientific discovery, you uncovered a vaccine. Well, you can tell this is a little older illustration. You uncovered a vaccine that could cure the disease. You hold in your hand the only hope for the world. Would you withhold it? Of course not. But we would share it. We wouldn't hold it in. You would say, hey, we have it, and you would share it so all could live. At church, we have God's word. You have the hope that everybody needs. You have the good news that brings everybody to salvation, that would free them from eternal damnation. And if you don't deliver it to them, if we don't have full trust that God's word is active and alive and necessary, we are in essence saying, I have what you need and I'm refusing to give it to you. They're going to die. And God, it says that his word has to be given. They must hear the gospel. The greatest thing that has ever happened to you is your salvation in Christ. The greatest thing you can ever do for somebody else is to share with them the message of the gospel. God expects us as we are here, as we're traveling through, to go to share the Bible. And this is why, as we've been looking at bibliology, it is so practical. God says, I have given you everything you need. I have given you everything the world needs. And how many people have never opened this? How many people have never heard? How many of us know it, believe it, and yet we don't share it? We need to be giving God's word. We need to be sharing the gospel to the world. It is available to all. And may we say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Let's pray. Lord, this evening we thank you. A simple message, Lord. And yet it is so powerfully and wonderfully true. Lord, without your word, without you revealing yourself and revealing the message of salvation, we would be lost and on our way to eternal separation from you. But Lord, in your glorious wisdom, in your love and grace and mercy, you gave us your word so that we may know, so that we may hear, and that we may respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your infallible word. Thank you for the trustworthiness of it. Thank you that your word is still alive and powerful. Lord, as we have, many of us in here who have heard the gospel, we've heard from your word and responded. Lord, may we see, Lord, and understand where would we be if somebody had not shared your word to us. Help us to love your word enough and love others enough to share it. Convict us and motivate us to treasure your word and share it. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Tim, would you lead us in a closing hymn?
Let's stand, please, as we sing At the Cross. At the Cross.